Welcome to Mimiki TV. Get ready to break through barriers, fuel your faith, pursue your purpose, and market your message so you can impact the marketplace for God. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mimiki TV. Today, I'm so glad to have a friend of mine who I've recently made and met in person, and I know you are going to love her. Angela Donadio is a Bible study author, international speaker, recording artist, and advocate for rural women in Africa. A survivor of two near-death experiences, she encourages others to make life matter. As a women's pastor and ordained minister, she serves alongside her husband, Dale, lead pastor of a thriving multicultural church. And Angela provides resources for women that are relevant biblical content, including her weekly blog and podcast. So I'm so excited to have you, Angela, on my show. Welcome to Mimiki TV.
Thank you so much, Mimiki. I'm so honored to be with you.
Well, it's so fun. So I have to tell everybody a little bit of a backstory. Angela and I never knew each other until recently, but we've fast become friends because we were introduced at a recent high tea where we actually got to have, like, you know, cups of tea and little cup, scones and cookies. And it was super fun, thanks to our great friend, Dr. Barbara Lowe. And I love coming together with other like-minded, strong Christian women leaders who are on a passion and a mission for sharing God's goodness. And of course, Angela, as you said, is a recording artist. She's got a fabulous voice, so she does singing too, and you've got some wonderful stories. So I'm super keen and excited to hear about your story and your testimony what it is that God is doing with you today. But take us back right to the beginning. Like, what did you do and how did you get started doing what you're doing today?
Sure. Thank you so much. Yes, we've had such fun getting to know each other. Thank you, Mimiki. I feel like we've become fast friends, definitely kindred spirits. So I'm super excited about this connection that God has brought us together. So yeah, I am a pastor's kid. A PK is what we call ourselves. And I was raised in the ministry. My parents moved around a few times. And so for me, I didn't necessarily want to go into ministry. I wanted to go into music full time. I majored in music. I remember the sound of 88 keys in my home ever since I was a little girl. So I went on to major in both piano and voice and ended up making three albums, which you mentioned in the bio there. And then my husband had been an undergrad major in pre-law, and he didn't want to go into the ministry, and I didn't want to go into the ministry. So be careful what you tell God you don't want to do or you'll never do, because that was God's plan all along. So he graduated from Evangel. We weren't dating yet. We started dating after graduation, and he went on and got his Master's of Divinity. And I started teaching and performing kind of in the Branson area. And then we ended up getting married and we moved to Maui for a year, which I know sounds like glorious and glamorous, but it was kind of boot camp for ministry. We lived there for a year and then we came back, put our resumes in some different districts, and we moved out to the East Coast. So we've lived here in Virginia for 25 years. And we pastored the same church that whole time, River of Life in Fredericksburg, Virginia. We're a commuter city for DC. So we have a lot of people that work in the government. We have about 50 different ethnicities represented in the church, very multicultural, multi-generational, very diverse church. And we absolutely love being out here. And then my own personal life took some twists and turns in my health in that time that we've been out here. And I can share about that if you'd like for me to.
Oh, definitely. Now, as you said, you've had two, not one, but two near-death experiences. So you're going to have to tell us about that, because for you to be here today to be sharing definitely means you've got some major mission to, mm-hmm. and you've had some major encounters and pushback. So tell us a little bit about that and how that sort of affected and changed your life as it is.
Absolutely. You know, I was just thinking this past week that we don't necessarily want resistance in our life. We tend to push back against it. Like, you know, I love to work out and I love to do group fitness classes at the gym. And they always push me just a little bit harder than I would if I was working out on my own. And so when you're using weights, you have to have resistance in order to see change. And so I've been kind of chewing on that the last week and some scriptures that talk about that, that resistance is a good thing. We want to embrace resistance in our life, but everything within our nature says the opposite and does the opposite. And that was the case for me. Although I grew up in ministry, Mimiki, I developed a very performance-based mentality, even toward my relationship with the Lord. So I felt that the more I did for him, the more he would love me. And it was a very It was shackles of perfectionism, and I was crippled by it at some points in my life. I was, you know, a very perfectionistic musician, and classical music kind of drives you that way. I was the oldest of three girls. I was in the fishbowl of ministry. So if you're not really careful, you can adopt this mentality that you have to be perfect, and God's not going to love you if you're not perfect. And so even my approach to the word was very duty-based and very legalistic. I have to do this today. I have to check these boxes. And I'm sure you've, you know, experienced that kind of almost yoke that you end up wearing. And if anyone's listening or watching that's experienced that, I know how oppressive that can feel. And the idea and the feeling that you are never good enough. And so in 2001 and 2003, I went through two very serious grave health conditions. And the first really began to unwind all of those cords that had wound themselves tightly around my heart and my mind. And I needed a hysterectomy for endometriosis. I had suffered for many years. And so I had a hysterectomy. I was home for a few days after that, and I was still bleeding. And the doctor that had been seeing me told me to just go ahead and go to the ER. We felt like it was nothing, and they would just kind of treat me and send me home. But they did keep me overnight. And Mamika, in the course of that evening, from about 8 or 9 in the evening till 6 in the morning, I hemorrhaged while I was fully awake, and I nearly bled to death. I lost over half my blood supply that night.
Wow.
And there was a moment that I looked at the clock in that hospital room, and it said 3:30 a.m. And I knew that my doctor was not going to be on until 6 a.m. And Mamika, I had a very life-defining moment when I said to the Lord, you know, I'm not going to make it. And I had been told I wouldn't have children because of endometriosis. We have two young adults that are grown now, Christian and Gabrielle. And I loved those children. I wanted those children so desperately. And I was laying there thinking, God, why would you give me these children? And now I'm not going to live to raise them. And at 6 a.m., my own doctor came in, and they did a very sophisticated procedure. They found the source of the bleeding, and they were able to stop it. But afterwards, I said to God, I don't ever want to feel that desperate again. And he said to me audibly, and I've only heard the audible voice of God a couple of times, and he said, Angela, that's how I always want you to feel, that desperate for me, that dependent on me. And that began a new way of living. And I felt the layers that I had been wearing begin to peel off of me, and God telling me, listen, Angela, I love you for who you are. And then you do for me out of your love for me. But I had it backwards. I was doing and doing and doing, thinking that somehow that would win God's favor and that would make him love me more. And that's just a lie that the enemy had me believing to keep me bound and to not experience the freedom of the love of God. So now one of my favorite verses is in 1 John that says, how great is the love of the Father that he has lavished on us that we would be called sons and daughters of God. And if we really encounter and experience and get a deep revelation of the love of God, that will transform us. That will revolutionize the way that we approach anything that we do in life, whether it's what we're doing in a marketplace, what we're doing in ministry, and it will reshape the dynamic of our relationship with God. So that was the first experience that I went through. And I'd love to share about what happened to me in 2003, if you'd like me to share that, Mamika.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that to me, I'm like, wow, because I can totally understand the pain. I myself had endometriosis from when I was a kid and just thought it was normal, and was told at 21 I couldn't have kids unless I had surgery. And yeah, that whole story. And eventually I did have three kids. So, you know, even though man tries to speak words of death over us, we don't have to accept that. But that is definitely a challenging moment where, and I've spoken to a few people before who it's almost like that moment of knowing you're going to die. And you're like, what do I believe? It's like, almost like, okay, what am I here for? Like, did you find that kind of changed your sort of fervor for wanting to pursue what God wanted you? Cause that's a hard thing for him to say, actually, I want you to feel like that. You're like, what?
Yeah, it really was in the moment. It was because I was still healing from surgery, now healing from hemorrhaging. And then also trying to wrap my heart and my mind around these things that God was saying. I was already writing. So I had been working on an album and I completed my last song after that. So part of this was a season where as a almost cathartically, I was writing. I continued to do that and writing songs and releasing albums all the way through to, you know, after my health fell apart again in 2003. So I was able to flesh out some of what I was feeling through writing. I'm a big journaler. That was a piece of it. And learning to live in that kind of a dependent state. You know, I'm an oldest, I'm an independent woman. I prided myself on my intelligence or my abilities and my gifts. And there's nothing wrong with those things. God gives us those things. But when they become our source with a capital S and we tether ourselves to those, and any of those can be gone in a moment. We can lose our health, our finances, our marriage, our, you know, anything, our ability to do what we wanted to do. Even last year, I was in a terrible car accident and my airbag hit my hands. I had two surgeries. I couldn't play for almost a year. And so when you're dealt with the reality of, wait a minute, if I couldn't do these things, is my relationship with God enough to stand on its own without what it is, quote unquote, I'm doing for him? So that began that for me. Then in 2003, I began to feel really ill. I would go to eat and I couldn't get it to go down. It was very painful. I really had no reference point. I'd never experienced anything that felt like it before. So doctor after doctor after doctor, Mamika. And I was told everything from it's your pancreas to it's in your mind. And I knew it wasn't in my mind. I knew my body. I was starting to lose a lot of weight and my blood pressure and my heart rate were hovering very dangerously low, like 70 over 40 for a blood pressure. And I was staying there. So I had no energy. I began to always lay on my left side in a fetal position. And I went back to that same doctor, would you believe it? He would come in at 6 a.m. And I said to him, I remember just tears streaming down my face and my husband was with me. And I said to him, something is wrong with me. You have to help me have a doctor listen to me. You know me, you know my family, you've been there for the birth of my children. And he helped me to get into the hospital. And I laid there for 11 days without anything to eat or drink. I was just on an IV. My parents flew in because things looked really dire. And my husband was there and my best friend had brought a picture of my kids so that I could have a focal point of motivation to live. And people would come in and sing to me and I would just always be on my side. And on the 11th day, they decided to do, I got a new GI doctor. That was one of the things the nurses recommended. And I had not met him, but he ordered a barium swallow where you drink that awful drink and it goes down and it's supposed to take about 45 minutes. So my parents stayed upstairs. My husband stayed upstairs. They wheeled me down and I don't know why they keep these hospital rooms so cold, but I'm laying on this cold metal hospital table and that 45 minutes turned into 7 hours. And I would hear the radiologist in the background saying, well, I don't know. It's not going through, you know, have her get up on all fours and turn her over and turn her the other way. And Mamika, honestly, I felt like a rag doll. I just felt completely depleted. And it was hour 4 or 5. And again, I'm thinking I'm back in the same hospital and I'm thinking, I cannot believe that I'm going through this again. I cannot, what did I not learn? Did I miss something? You know, we can question ourselves and question God, especially when we think we've already gone around that mountain like the Israelites did over and over. And you're thinking, why am I in this place again? But I knew from before that I had so surrendered my own understanding and my will that that experience in 2001 prepared me for be able to really go through the most daunting fight of my life. And so about hour 4 and 5, again, I heard the audible voice of God. And he said to me, Angela, I know you can worship me on the platform. When my husband and I moved out to the East Coast, I was the worship pastor even for the previous pastor. And then I stayed on and I'd been a worship pastor probably 15 years up to that point. And God said, I know you can worship me on the platform, but I want to know if you can worship me here. And that was probably the hardest ask of my life. And, you know, your flesh wants to say no, back to resistance. Your flesh wants to resist against the resistance that's coming at you because you either don't think it's fair or why is it happening to you? Or in my case, I didn't even have the strength to fight anymore. I could feel life ebbing out of me. I was so low and so depleted. And I really had no fight left. And I laid there and I said, okay, God, I belong to you. So if you're asking this of me, then I want to give you my yes. And I just lay there with, I don't even know if I could make tears, but I think some tears ran down my face. And I just sang, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. And you're altogether lovely. And you're altogether worthy. And you're altogether wonderful to me. And I believe that moment ushered in my miracle because the next day they came in and that doctor had been studying for his boards and he looked at my films and he looked at his books and he saw pictures in the book that looked like my films. They consulted John Hopkins and they made a diagnosis of superior mesenteric artery syndrome. It was a really rare disorder where an artery took too sharp of a turn and it was compressing on my intestines. So it was acting like an obstruction. So I would go to eat, but it had nowhere to go. And so that's what was making my heart rate low, my blood pressure low. So this team of surgeons, you know, consulted with each other and they decided to move the intestines out to the side and not try to operate on the artery. It was too dicey. And they cut me stem to stern. I spent another couple of days in the hospital. I've had my esophagus stretched, I don't know, 8 or 9 times since then to keep everything open and working and moving properly. But that crystallized for me that even in the darkest places of my life, God was present and that he can transform pain into purpose. And that has really been my life mission. That whole season also catapulted me into a much deeper relationship with the Lord and a much different relationship with the Word. I read it for life. I read it for peace. I read it for joy. I read it because I loved Jesus and I knew that he loved me. And that changed everything for me. So rather than it be, let me check my box today, it was, let me encounter the presence of God, just like it did in that hospital room. And the power of that, Mamika, is we don't have to be even in a Sunday service with everything just perfect with the lights and the sound and our favorite worship song. Like we can turn any space into sacred ground when we choose to encounter the presence of God. We just have to invite the presence of God into whatever situation we are and say, God, I'm giving you my yes. I'm surrendering to you. I want to see you in this situation. And when we do that, then we can know with confidence he will take it and he will use it and he will transform that pain into palpable purpose. And that's what I've seen happen. I started writing after that. I've authored 3 books, working on my 4th book, started speaking a lot more. People wanted to hear my story, but then I partner my story with the Word of God because I believe you can't have one without the other. We have to share why the Word of God is the foundation for everything else. And if we have his Word and his presence, Mamika, we can literally handle anything that we go through in life.
Definitely. I mean, that is such a huge testimony. And what I'm hearing, you know, you saying over and over, it's the key is surrender. And this is something I felt huge as well in my heart is that, you know, and like you as well, I was also addicted to approval and performance. And, you know, we all have these issues, but especially when you are so fixated on controlling things, it's almost like God intentionally comes to, you know, knock us over to really help us understand where our foundation is. Because if we're founding in our own strength and, oh, look what I did, and look, I can create this, it's like he takes those out of your hands to a stage where he's like, do you trust me? And it's a hard place. Like, you know, for many of us, it comes in different shapes or form, but it's that defining moment where, whether it's a physical issue or a spiritual or a family or whatever it is, I believe we get challenged and it's up to us to make the choices. Do we want to partner with God and do we believe what he says? Because that could feel hard. I mean, I can imagine just the feeling of, you know, not besides the physical feeling terrible, like just feeling like abandoned and alone, like, where are you, God, right? But I think it's so important now in today's era that we have to be so closely aligned and partnering with God that it's like pride has to go. There ain't no room for pride. There ain't no room for self-exhortation or look what I did. And yes, I have an issue with the word self-help because there's only so many limits to me helping myself. And then it comes to the end of your rope and you're like, I can't do that. So I find that incredible that you can actually do that. And what I also find interesting is that you were challenged on the areas where God wants to use you the most, which is your voice.
True.
Like you said about the esophagus, I mean, that's going to be really painful. Like you're constantly being challenged to use your gifts.
It is. And when it begins to get too tight, I can't sing. I can barely talk. At the point that I was having surgery, laying on my side, I mean, my esophagus was nearly shut. So if I talked for more than 10 or 15 minutes, it would also feel like I was just literally getting strangled and suffocated. And, you know, I just couldn't even hardly manage visitors because I couldn't talk with them. I was drying out. I was literally just dying from the inside out. And another thing, as you were saying that, Mamika, I think even last year with 2020 and what we're still kind of experiencing in 2021, I think we have to get to a place of comfortability with dependence on God. And it's never a super comfortable place. I have to kind of keep revisiting that when I feel like, okay, I can do this. Like I see my scar every day and it reminds me. But even when moments when I started feeling really good again, I would say to the Lord, don't let me forget. Like, don't let me forget that feeling of dependency and desperation, because I don't want to get back to the place where I can do everything by myself and without you. And I think what we saw last year and we're still seeing is God is removing all of the attachments that we put into our life, or all of the crutches, all of the things that we use to kind of manage and get through instead of depending completely on Him. And it's a very scary place. It feels very vulnerable. It does feel like you're alone and you're abandoned. But I'll tell you this, because, you know, I said I was a journaler. So years later, I was journaling. And for sake of just abbreviating my journal, I was studying the book of Daniel, where the three Hebrew children were in the fire. And normally I don't like to call them by their slave names, which are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They have their original Hebrew names, but it's just me and my journal. So for sake of time and abbreviation, I just put an SMA were in the fire and God was with them. And then I looked down and Mamika, my disorder was superior mesenteric artery syndrome, or if you look it up in the medical books, SMA syndrome. So I looked down at that and I thought, okay, God, you know, I mean, this is like 5 or 6 years after the fact, but it was just God's fingerprints again saying, I know you felt alone. And I know you felt, and maybe that's why He had me hear His audible voice to tell me I am still with you, even in this very dark place. But, you know, to hear the voice of God and to know that even in that, just like He was with those three Hebrew children in the fire, He was with me. I believe, and I've witnessed this, that if you're committed and you are consecrated and you've given your life to the Lord, then nothing happens to us that's not filtered through the loving hands of our Heavenly Father. It's not like we're just left to our own devices and, oh, well, maybe He'll come in and rescue us. Like, I belong to Him. So I see a filter between me and whatever's happening in my life. And so if God allows something, then I have to see, what are you trying to do? What do I need to learn from this, and how can you use it for your glory? That's a big takeaway that I learned, Mamika. And that's what I would encourage anyone who's going through any kind of a challenge, a difficult situation, whether it's financial, relational, emotional, health, like me, is you can ask why. And sometimes God will answer that, but sometimes it's a futile question that just causes more frustration. So rather than why is this happening? Why is this happening? If you can ask, okay, God, what do I need to learn from this? And how can you use this for your glory? Those two questions have tangible answers that you can receive, and they will force you to dig into the Word of God and to dig into listening to God's voice so that you don't waste your pain and you don't waste anything that you go through, because God's not going to waste it. He's going to use it. But we have to also lean heavily into what He's trying to say, so that we can extract the purpose that He was trying to get us to get from it, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally. And it just reminds me of something I read recently. It says that the Bible was written from places of pain. If you think about it, like, if you talk about the history, it's like, and there was a king and everything was well with the land, like one sentence. But then we learn about how people in the Bible learned to trust God and to more about themselves and to share the old was during the pain and the resistance and the hard parts. That's where they grew the most. Is we don't grow in our comfort zones. We have to be stretched beyond the comfort zone because that's where God wants us to reach. And I think this is where why the world feels like it's a huge shock, is we've all been so comfortable where we are. And anytime we get, shook into something new, most human beings don't like change, but God has to be able to sometimes get our attention in many different ways. And it's not a punishment. It's an opportunity for growth. Mm, so I love how you say as well, is like, what can I learn? And also, let's learn it fast so we don't have to stay there for longer than we have to.
Amen,
right?
Sister. I love that. Say that again. I'm going to write that down. You said it's not a punishment. It's an opportunity for growth. That's
exactly
so good.
Yes, because that's any opportunity you think, like you mentioned at the beginning about resistance. If you have to be able to have the pain and to lean into the pain of whatever you're going through to really build that muscle, because you're going to get stronger, wiser, and have more tools at your disposal when you've been able to prove that you can handle something.
That's so true.
Again, this all comes back to also being of the parable of the talents. Like, can God trust us with what he wants to give us? Like, I'm not going to give my 10-year-old keys to the car.
I knew what you meant.
And, I'm like, I know my 21-year-old is pretty comfortable, but my 10-year-old has some growing to do, right? She's not mature enough to understand. Mm. So God's the same way with us. He takes us through these, valleys and mountains, but even the valleys are beautiful. So I love how you've been able to turn your whole story and your testimony, even though there's pain. I mean, I know a lot of people who probably would have given up and turned their back on God thinking much, but the encouragement in your story is that even at your darkest moments, you can turn your pain into purpose and know that God is using it. Like now you're shining on the rooftops and telling everybody how God is grateful. And that is why I feel it's so important for us to just press in and to really like learn the lesson so we can move on, right?
Absolutely.
Let's not get stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. Nobody wants to be there for that long.
I agree. And there's a lot of perspective shift that has to happen. Even in last year, whenever we go through something, then we can take what we've learned and we can apply those two questions to everything. So if you look at last year over and over, pandemic, civil unrest, all kind of things that we've been dealing with, isolation. Okay, God, what do you want me to learn? And how can you use it for your glory? But that's a big perspective shift. In fact, I wrote about that in my first Bible study, which was on the book of Philippians, finding joy when life is out of focus. But the back cover copy says, look through the lens of God's perspective and you will love the life you see. We want to love our life, but a lot of times, again, we tether ourselves and we tether our joy to tangible things that, when I lose 10 pounds or when my kids are perfect or when my marriage is better or when I have this job, then I'll have joy and then I'll serve God wholeheartedly. But it won't ever happen when we do that. We have to find our joy and our source of joy in God. And then our perspective has to be heavenly and eternity minded and not just fixated on what's happening here on earth. This is such a blink. And if anything, I learned that nearly dying. And then, you come out of that, Mamika, with such like a boldness that you didn't have before, because you have literally stared death in the face. And I was toe to toe with death and face to face with it. And I had to make peace with, if I was wheeled into that operating room and I didn't make it, I had to say bye to everybody. So when you've gone through that and you come out of it, you definitely have a different approach to life. And, I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro for clean water wells after that. I wrote a book about being fearless with women of the Bible. I just wrote my devotional that I just released is Astounded, Encountering God in Everyday Moments. So those are the composites of all these things we're talking about, that applying the Bible to your everyday life and finding God in everyday moments. But that means we have to be looking for it, and we have to be constantly shifting our perspective off of looking down at the dilemma and the pain and up at God and what he's trying to do through it.
Exactly. Because God can only be glorified through us if we allow him to work in us. And then
you
I always say, flip the script on whatever the story of the soundtrack of your life. You can always change it, right? You don't have to be singing an old tune that's going to keep you stuck in a valley of dry bones. I mean, and even God says, and he can turn and he can breathe life on it. But again, everything, I've noticed this, and as I've so many people I've spoken to and interviewed, it all comes back to that moment. Every one of us has this moment of surrender. And when we can press in and lean into that and say, okay, God, I surrender myself. I surrender my life, my will, my emotions, my dreams, everything. But it is a hard transition. But it's amazing. Like you said, there's such a relief, right? Once you've made the decision, you're like, well, I face death. What's the worst that can happen? Like,
yeah,
bring it on,
exactly.
Baby.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I mean, the enemy is, he's not creative. He does the same things over and over. But when he should have known not to mess with people who God, I mean, he doesn't mess with people who God's not trying to do anything with. God wants to do something with all of us. Don't get me wrong. But you know, when we face that kind of resistance, that's not a sign that God is angry at you. It's a sign that God is trying to use you in a greater capacity. And we have to get that place of surrender. We will never be done surrendering until we're in heaven. Like every day, it's a new, I have to die to myself. I have to die to my own agenda. I have to get in alignment with the will of God. What is the will of God for me? I have to make godly choices. So it's not a one and done. It's a pattern of surrender that once we learn how to do, we can apply it all the way through life.
Exactly. And if you just have the vision of, like, I always see it, like, we are Earth itself, we go through boot camp. We are in an army and we have to go, like all those movies, like I love like Wonder Woman and all those. You see, there's always that part, that montage where they're fighting and they're learning, and even like the Karate Kid for us 80s babies, wax on, wax off, right? You know, you remember, you can't get the result without the practice. You can't get to learn the skill without the repetition of trying and doing it over and over and over. And boot camp is unavoidable. If you want to be used as a soldier in God's army, you have to be prepared to sign up to be part of the training, because the training equips you with the tools and the fighting skills you are going to need to fight this world. So yes, I think it's an encouragement. Now I see things coming. I'm like, okay, right. What's the next mission, right? We're going to win this war. Cause you get more determined, you dig your heels in, you're like, I'm not going to let this faze me. So Absolutely. That is so exciting. I just love your story. And I'm so excited to be able to share that with you. And you mentioned about your books, but I must mention the two of us are on Dr. Bob Rouleau's upcoming, World Wholeness Women's Summit. And she is having, I think, about 80 speakers, and you and I are one of them. And I'm talking about purpose. What is your talk going to be on?
Mine is about wearing your crown, adjusting your crown. I'm talking about
Esther. That's fabulous.
Yeah, talking about Esther and what it looks like for us to wear the crown that God has entrusted to us, our individual, unique, custom design crown, which is our calling and our purpose.
Yeah, I love Esther's story because, she had to go through boot camp training, right, for her to be equipped. And she had to go through beautification, was it 2 or 3 years or something.
Yeah.
She had to willingly lay her life down. And then when she was called to step up, she had to make that choice. So I love that story too. But go to 3wsummit.com and you can sign up, and you'll be part of that. You get access to all those interviews for free, or you can get the replays if you buy an all access pass ticket. And it's definitely one of those things that's great to be able to have that at your fingertips when you need that encouragement. And then of course you've got other resources. So tell everybody like how they can get in touch with you, or, you know, how they can get copies of your books and things like that.
Sure. Well, AngelaDonatio.com has everything. That's A-N-G-E-L-A. And then my last name, my husband's Italian. So it's D-O-N-A-D-I-O, AngelaDonatio.com. So there's blogs there. There's a free page of some things, including a free chapter on Priscilla from Fearless. That's there. 100 scriptures to help you find your fearless. There's 3 devotions from Astounded that are there free. So that'll give you a great kind of sample of some of my writing and some of the resources that God has had me, write and give, especially for women. The next book that I'm working on is for women and men, but those resources were designed with women and their unique needs in mind. Then I have a podcast as well. It's the Make Life Matter podcast. It's hosted on Charisma, and I'm just launching season 2 in February of 2021 with some amazing guests, including Mamika Cooney.
And, thank you so much.
Yeah, we have such great conversations with different guests who've had riveting life stories. And then again, how can we apply God's word, and how can we discover miracles even in the middle of life's messy moments? So my whole overarching ministry is Make Life Matter. And I do that through speaking, through work in Africa. I founded a nonprofit, which is Voice of the Voiceless. I've been to Africa about 20 times now. And I work with rural women in Africa I cannot wait to get back. I'm so anxious for this pandemic to be over. So
that you were mentioning, right? Because I'm from South Africa. You're going to have to go through South Africa as well, because there's, you know, there's so many things going on there. And I just got to say thank you as well as a South African, putting someone who's from all the way from the USA, he's putting together resources to help other women and providing these resources. Because I grew up, you know, surrounded by poverty, and I know how this affects people. So it is so important for us to be able to feed back into people's lives. So thank you. Totally fabulous.
They've done as much to impact my life. Trust me, I could write 10 books on it. And I narrowed my focus the last few years to pastors' wives. So I help them with micro enterprise programs so that it's not just handing them something, but it's training them how to do it for themselves.
And that is even more effective because, you know, when you teach a man or a woman to fish, they can feed their family. Inevitably. And I think this teaching the skills is so needed there. So that's so wonderful. So hopefully you'll be able to get back to your traveling sometime soon and so many of these great resources. But before we wrap up, would you be able to pray with our audience? Because I'm sure we're having a lot of them going, yes, that's me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Mamika, so much for having me. And I can't wait for the World Wholeness Summit and all that God's going to do. And hopefully I'll see you there. So I'll pray. Lord, we thank you so much. God, I thank you that you love us. I pray, Lord, that you would just bring each one of us into a deeper revelation of that love, because once we stand in the awareness of your love, we can face anything, God. I pray for anyone who may feel like they are in that dark valley right now. They're feeling, you know, maybe not physically laying on that cold table, but they're feeling the cold chill of pain and of anxiety and of confusion, maybe financial strain, or marriage, or trying to handle everything with their kids with this pandemic and everyone at home. God, there's so many challenges right now, but I love what Mamika said, God. I pray that you'd help us to view things not as your punishment, but as your redirection and an opportunity for growth, God, because you have so much for us. You have so much for us. And there's just things that we hang on to that are keeping us from your best. Lord, I pray such a blessing over Mamika, God. I pray for such an enlargement of her tent in this next season, God. I just sense such dreams and passion that have not even come to pass yet in her life. And God, I speak that over her, God, that you would use her in such great capacity over these next few years, expanding her ministry and her influence in the marketplace. God, I pray that each one of us would see that you've never wasted anything that we've been through. Whatever we've been through, you will use it for your kingdom, for your purpose. I pray that we could lean in, press our pain into your heart, and that we would be able to hear your heartbeat, God, to say, God, what do I need to learn? Even right now in this difficult season, teach us and show us, transform us, God, so that you can use us in even greater ways. And so we thank you, we love you, we honor you, and we magnify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. I really appreciate the praise as well, because, you know, it's always good when we feel like we're a soldier out there just doing God's work. Sometimes it can be very lonely when you don't get feedback, where you don't know, like, God, am I doing this? Is this what I'm meant to be doing? Oh. So I really appreciate that, especially for those of us who are waiting on our breakthroughs. And we know that God has something for us, and we're just stepping into things. We're just taking that step of faith. So I'm going to say to everyone, if you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with your friends. Click the buttons below and make sure, I'm sure you know somebody who needs to hear what Angela had to say. And we'd love to have your feedback. Like below the video, click and add your comments, you know, any aha moments, any revelations. We would love to stand and in agreement with you and just help and lift you up in prayer. And, you know, if you want more freebie resources that I only share with my newsletter community, go to mamikacooney.com and have a bunch of resources where you can get a free growth guide, as well as upcoming news about books I'm writing on and projects like our 3W Summit that we're going to be on. So make sure to get on my email list, because that's where all the goodies, you can get all the goodies. So go to mamikacooney.com. I got to say thanks again, Angela, for being on the show. I so appreciate you being here. And for everyone who wants to connect, make sure you go to her website at angeladonadio.com. But no matter what platform you're watching or listening on, click the button that says show notes, and that'll come up with the page where you can get all the information. And we'll put notes there of Angela's books and all those other resources we mentioned. So go to do that. And last but not least, make sure to subscribe. If you are listening on iTunes or all platform purposes, make sure to subscribe to the show. And we really appreciate your 5-star review. And if you are watching on our video platforms like YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel and click that notification so you know when we're going, when we release a new episode. We would love to stay in touch. So again, thanks again, Angela, so spending your wonderful time with me. I so appreciate it.
You are so welcome, Amika. Thank you so much. God keep blessing you and expanding your ministry.
Thanks so much. Until next time, everyone, take care.
Are you ready to grow? Come join our group mentorship to stretch yourself and reach your full potential. Go to mamikacooney.com to reserve your seat today.